This is Classic Business. Breakfast with MoneyWeb. Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Aronsa on Classic 1027.
It's finally happened. 7:03, welcome to it. This is your Wednesday edition of Classic Business Breakfast with MoneyWeb. It's finally happened. Malusi Gigaba stepping down as a cabinet member and Minister of Home Affairs. Tasha, our bet is completely off, clearly.
Yeah, so I don't know whether we switch things and say whoever had the furthest and latest date is the one who wins because they were far closer to it.
So whoever had last week Friday, is that what we're saying? Because everyone assumed that it would be out by last week.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think just scrap it.
Yeah,
I think
complete conversation clearly happening there between Malusi Gigaba, the president, and the National Working and Executive Committee of the ANC indeed. And Malusi Gigaba bowing to pressure and finally saying indeed that it is time for him to fall on his sword. The second minister to do so, there are questions as to who is next. And of course, a lot of people questioning whether Bathabile Dlamini may indeed still remain in office after, you know, the end of this year. But with elections coming up, that's going to be something else to look at. But Dash, we do have a jam-packed show as well today.
Yes, so irrespective of the fact that there is some stock market volatility and a troubled economy and various other things, it seems as though local investors have committed a healthy 54 billion rand net inflows to the local collective investment schemes industry in the third quarter of this year. So we'll speak to Sunette Mulder, who is a senior policy advisor at ASISA, about that.
We'll unpack Malusi Gigaba's resignation and, of course, the court's decision then to grant the application to liquidate VBS Mutual Bank, the South African Reserve Bank, applying for that in court yesterday and were essentially successful. But now it may speed up court proceedings and criminal proceedings in that. We'll unpack that in just a moment.
And staying with that theme, there's been a recent trend, as Arabile has alluded to, where either companies opt for business rescue or sometimes even liquidation. We'll speak to Faith Ngwenya, who's a technical executive at SIPA, about which one to choose for which situation.
He may have gotten rid of Gigaba, but he also fired Tom Moyane. Why is the removal of the former SARS commissioner very key to President Cyril Ramaphosa's success? Dirk Kotze from the University of South Africa will unpack that for us and give us a little hint as to why this matters so much.
And we've often heard this on numerous platforms where people will say something along the lines of Africa doesn't need charity, it needs good leadership. We'll speak to Dr. Martin Davies, who's the Managing Director of Emerging Markets in Africa, Deloitte Africa. But how exactly do we even get to that point? And how are we doing so far?
And of course, the big story, municipal debt at Eskom amounting to around, to Eskom rather, amounting to 17 billion rand. Are we at risk of falling off now and getting more when it comes to blackouts as well for the country? How is this going to be affected? And we'll chat to Kulupasiwa from Eskom about that. All that and a whole lot more coming up between now and 8 o'clock. Let's get into your Wednesday edition of Classic Business Breakfast with MoneyWeb.
This is Classic Business Breakfast with MoneyWeb. Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Aronsa on Classic 1027.
Well, the dollar was on a speedy rally, but that seemed to have paused yesterday. Although that didn't necessarily help South Africa's stock exchange, with miners under pressure and continuing to fall by, with the likes of Naspers also offsetting gains by local banks. The all-share down nearly a third of a percent yesterday to 52,109 points, with the top 40 also going down. The banking sector was up 1.78%, with the food and drug retailers also gaining 0.71%. Global markets generally higher, and that's despite a sharp sell-off in tech stocks on Monday. So the tech stock tumble continues in earnest on that front. Of course, questions around the Brexit negotiations and possible conflict within the Eurozone over the Italian budget deficit seem to have taken the spotlight as well. So banks and retailers were given some support by a continued fall in the oil price as well, this time after U.S. President Donald Trump once again took to Twitter, saying he thought oil prices should indeed be lower, especially given current output. 14.44 for a U.S. dollar, 16.30 for a euro, 18 rand and 74 cents for a single British pound. Taking a look at how things are looking out in Asia, it's all red right now across that board. 21,801 points for the Nikkei. It's down 0.05%. The Shanghai Composite, a tenth of a percent lower, 2,652 odd. While the Hang Seng in Hong Kong is down 0.5%, 25,664. It's $1,202 a fine ounce for gold. Platinum will set you back $836.55 an ounce. Brent crude, having fallen, is now at $65.44 a barrel.
This is Classic Business. Breakfast with MoneyWeb. Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Aronsa on Classic 1027.
It's just gone 8 minutes after seven, and to talk more in-depthly on the markets, we're joined in studio by Michael Traherns, a portfolio manager at Vestec Asset Management. Michael, thank you so much for your time. It's Wednesday, so how do you, I mean, what do you make of the way the market started from the beginning of this week? I mean, I was reading the newsletter that you guys write, and you, there's this very interesting line where you say, there's an old saying about the nail that sticks out gets hit. And in this case, as Arabile said in his intro, it's the tech store.
Yeah, so it's been an interesting week. I mean, even if you look at our market yesterday, we started off in the green, then we were in the red, and then we were in the green, and then we just slowly drifted down to red. The market seems to be lacking direction. I mean, I was having a look at the NASDAQ last night. It closed up 0.0000088. So it was less than a point. That's after being about 0.5% in the green earlier in the day. So it just shows you that there's a lot of uncertainty out there. When I was talking about the nail getting hit, tech stocks over the last 2-3 years have been the major performers for US markets. They've done really well. I mean, the likes of Amazon, it's almost more than tripled in value over that time. They're the stocks that everyone talks about. They're the stocks that everyone focuses on. So when you got a sell-off like this, these are the ones that guys sell first, and you get that term taking profit. Guys take profit on the ones that they've made the most money on, you know, lock it away for psychological security.
Right. And when it comes to either corporate or just global news events that caught your attention yesterday, which one of those?
Yeah, so, excuse me. Brait's one of our old investments, but it's a company that we've been following, and it's just interesting to see it's because it's linked to the Christo Visa stable, and that's, it's not quite yesterday's news, but it came out on Monday afternoon, which meant I was reading it on Tuesday morning. And they was breaking down how well they've done over like a 7 or 8 year period. But with their New Look asset, which is equivalent to Mr. Price in the UK, it's destroyed billions of dollars worth of shareholder wealth. And it's interesting to see, even though you've got all these amazing investments, it only takes one investment to bring down the house. So it's a sad story to see.
What is a sad story to see? So I was reading about Rebosis, and I had a look at their results. But the one thing that caught my attention is that, you know, it brought up the topic of a lot of these companies that went to the UK and bought some assets there. And because of situations probably out of their control and what's happening with regards to Brexit, things didn't work out as well. Brait probably is one of them. I think that the theme is there as well. Perhaps even famous brands. But because there is news, or there was news yesterday, that Theresa May, they may have some kind of ideas to how this divorce is going to work, or at least present the legal opinion as to what's going to happen with Brexit. Does that, you know, give you some kind of, I don't know, glimmer of hope that Theresa may find her way through this long, long dark tunnel that they're navigating through?
Yeah, it's very difficult. When you remember that Theresa May is pro-staying. She's not pro-Brexit, but because of her job, she has to be pro-Brexit. So it's very difficult. And then she's fighting her own cabinet. And then once she's fought them, then she's got to fight the opposition. And once she's got through the opposition in the House of Commons, then she has to get whatever deal through the House of Lords. It's a continual uphill battle. And they're running too close to their deadline at the moment. So it's tough. All the markets want is some level of certainty. And that's what's been lacking. Is a lot of international companies are saying, should we invest in the UK? And the answer is, well, we have to wait and see what the Brexit outcome is. Mm. And it's a similar, I think, story to where South Africa is at the moment, where investors say, should we invest in South Africa? And it's, well, let's wait and see what happens with the land issue. Let's wait and see what happens with the elections next year. And it's almost like the economy's on pause. And we need certainty for the floodgates to open because there's money around. And there's enough reports showing the balance sheets of big multinationals, and particularly South Africa-based multinationals, that have a lot of cash on their balance sheet. And asset prices in South Africa at the moment look very cheap. I mean, if you have a look, about once or twice a week, there's news of a small cap getting bought out.
Yeah.
And that just shows you that small caps representing asset classes as a whole are just too cheap, and guys are saying, look, we can buy out these small caps and make money from it. And I think we need certainty is the main thing.
Speaking of small caps, I mean, locally, there's been quite a lot of news about companies that are either delisting or planning to delist at some point. Is it a case where perhaps maybe private investors are seeing something on the JSE in terms of value that we may not have been seeing? I mean, there was, I think it was Clover, which came out on October 19th saying that there is a third party that may be interested in buying them and taking them private.
Yeah, so I think Clover's one, Tor's another one, I think it came out yesterday, the day before, Interwaste 2 weeks ago. These are all smaller companies, and there's just the big companies that are saying these assets are too cheap, we can buy them at a reasonable multiple, in most cases lower than 10, which is below the average of the market, and then you take these things private. In other cases, there's a lot of small cap companies that shouldn't have been listed in the first place. There's the lure of come to the market, the glitz and glamour, and then they realize all the regulatory burdens and the cost of being listed. It's very expensive. So it's a case of you got to choose what market you want to be in. And I think if you're seeing all these small caps, you're probably going to see a small cap boom in the next couple of years as our economy surges from our election. So I'm saying that we get a surge from our election. And if I keep saying it, hopefully it'll build confidence.
All right. It's 7:15. We still have Michael Traherne in studio.